Today we are talking about something that I think every single one of us struggles with in some regard. We could all be better at this. We are talking about SEO for photographers, and I am telling you, get your notebook out because you're going to want to take notes and you're going to want to take action. All right, let's jump into the interview.
Welcome to the Photo Field Notes podcast, where you'll find stories, tips, and inspiration from professional photographers to get you taking action in your own business and making your business dreams a reality.
Hey everybody, this is Ali Ciardo, and today I am here with Fusa Reese, who is an SEO expert and a photographer. So she has a really great combination of background experience to help you out today. So Fusa, let's talk a little bit about SEO for photographers. This is a really big topic that people are asking me about all the time, that I think a lot of people struggle with. So as a photographer, Why does it matter? Why should we care about SEO?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much for the invitation. I'm so happy to be here and share some tips with your audience. Basically, you know, for me, when it comes to getting new leads or new clients for photography business, what I found, they usually come from three places. So they usually come from past clients, right? Past brides. They also come from other vendors, even other photographers, you know, planners, if you're a wedding photographer. And then last but not least, they come from online. And honestly, nowadays, if you have any kind of business, you need an online presence. It's like if you don't have an online presence, you don't exist. So what is even SEO, right? Lots of times that jargon is thrown around and people are like, you know, I remember back in the day, I'm like, yeah, I know what that is. And I like had no clue. So SEO stands for search engine optimization. So in simple terms, this means that there are things that I can manually do to my website, blog, and even social media in order to boost it, in order to optimize it. So search engines like Google, Yahoo, Bing, even YouTube, even Pinterest, can find my blog, can find my photos, can find my website. So I love that SEO gives you that power for you to manually do it yourself. And you could also outsource later, of course. But we as photographers, we have a big advantage, which is that we have photos. And our photos can get found in Google Images. And I just was looking at this graphic the other day about like the top 100 websites that people use in the world. And it was showing like Google Images is a big part of that. So we have this advantage. We have this advantage with photos in Pinterest. We have this advantage with photos being found, you know, in Google Images. And honestly, you could do this all for free too. So that's the other bonus about it.
So where do we even, well, first of all, let me ask this. What are some of the biggest mistakes when you talk to other photographers and you look at how their blog is set up, how their website is set up? What are the biggest mistakes that you think people are making?
Sure. A lot of these mistakes, I mean, I've made them all, and a lot of it we make as we, you know, just put up our blog and along, because when we first start, like, we're just so passionate about the art, the craft, that we're not having all these things in mind. We're not setting up our website, like, with, you know, Google structure in mind and all these things in mind. So some of the mistakes I'm going to share, the good news is there's ways to fix it, and don't worry, you're not alone. So the first biggest mistake that photographers and creatives make when it comes to SEO is in regards to text. So the basis for SEO, the foundation for SEO, is text, because search engines, they look for text, like they don't see photos and videos, but that's changing with smart machines and the rank brain and crazy stuff.
Wow.
In the future. Yeah, that's really, you know, even Pinterest has a search, a visual search, which is really like kind of freaky if you ask me. But for the most part now, they only see text. So then you get a photographer who has the most gorgeous website. You get on there and it has like the awesome promo video. It has, you know, beautiful images and it's gorgeous, but it's naked in the eyes of Google. Google doesn't see any of that. It only sees text. So the number one mistake is lack of text on your website pages. So, you know, a lot of people don't like to clutter their website with text, but I recommend that photographers answer like kind of what they do and where they do it. And if they could add a small text on their homepage, a contact page, and even about page, that would be good. Please don't make this text transparent or white as the background, because you will get penalized by Google. That's bad. Like, that's bad SEO. Don't do that. But like even in your about page, I go to these people's, I visit many photographers' website and I can't figure out where they're located. So then they're complaining that they can't be found in their local area or the big town that they want to be found for. But I can't like, you know, magically know where you're located because you have your phone number on there, right? So it's really important to write that out. So for example, Fusery Studios is Fort Lauderdale based wedding and engagement photography studio serving Miami-Dade and Broward County. So don't forget, like, how do locals call your town, right? Is it like East, you know, East LA, SoCal? So don't ignore your local talk, right? And don't ignore your small towns because Google knows IP addresses. So a lot of photographers, for example, they like, oh, I want to be found for Nashville, but I live in Franklin or somewhere else. And they're afraid to use the smaller town. Use the smaller town. There's less competition. And if that bride is closer to that town anyway, even if she's looking for a wedding venue in Nashville, guess what? You can show up because you're physically close to her. And Google knows all of this. So, you know, many times we're just too obsessed with exact search, you know, like exact keywords. So another mistake that photographers make when it comes to text is thinking that if they're found by what they do and the town they want, that all their booking problems are solved. Now, they're not, because SEO will only get you people there. So it's sort of like building, like, let's say I set up shop in the busiest street of Manhattan, but I still have to entice people to come in through the door and actually make a purchase. In our case, actually inquire. So I think the second mistake everyone makes, actually, is in regards to our website structure. So it's not sometimes intuitive or user-friendly. Remember, our clients don't click around like we do. You might have the coolest hover-over effect, and then the text appears, but they're not going to know how to do that. So you need to look at your website and have like the three-year-old test or the mother-in-law test, right? You got to handhold like there's no tomorrow. So think about, what are your top three pages? So how are you getting your user to land there? And those top three pages need to be on your nav bar. And your most important pages should be towards the left because our eyes look from left to right. So don't be hiding pages, like important pages. Don't like, you know, I have to like click on a page and then I get to it. Like, make it convenient for your user. Make it easy. Say, click here, check out. If you want to learn more, contact me. Visit my gallery page. Another tip with text is sometimes I actually advise my clients or students to add text in your gallery pages. Talk about, like, why do you love photographing seniors, or why do you love photographing maternity or boudoir or whatever it is, just to get some text in there. Also, we want unique text and varied text, right? So don't, I see this mistake too. So sometimes people go the other route, which is like make what we call geo pages. And geo pages are great. So let's say I want to serve Miami and Fort Lauderdale, for example. So I'll have a page about Miami and I'll have a separate page about Fort Lauderdale, right? Which is fine. So I totally could do that and I should do that. But what I shouldn't do is have the exact same text on both pages, exact same photos, and only change the city. So you want unique types of content. Another mistake that photographers make is not utilizing the power of image SEO. And I have a free course about image SEO that we could share at the end. But your images, so if you're on WordPress, when you upload the media, there's four SEO sections per se. But the number one that's important is what's called alt text or alternative text. So this is actually what somebody who's vision impaired would see. So, you know, if you're uploading 20 photos to a blog post, all those 20 photos need a unique alt text. So add keywords in there. Talk about the style, the color, talk about the brand. So basically answer the question, what is this photo? Bride getting ready at Lowe's Hotel in Philadelphia. You know, bride and groom walking down, you know, St. John's Church. Ritz-Carlton, you know, wedding photo reception. And, you know, you do need to make it unique. But one tool that I use that's great, Blogstomp actually has an SEO tool where you can really batch rename your images for your titles, because they, that part is not as important. But I will pretty much focus on the wedding venue, right, for wedding photography. And I'll be like, Ritz-Carlton wedding photos 1, 2, 3. You could do that in Lightroom by exporting it, or you could do it, batch process it in Blogstomp. But Blogstomp also has this batching for the alt text an SEO feature. So, and I actually did a video for them that we could post in the show notes. So you guys, if you do use Blogstomp and you're interested in that. So image SEO, it's like our most powerful tool. And that's also the text in alt text is the text that gets picked up by Pinterest. So if somebody lands on our blog, if a bride lands on your blog, they love the blog post and they want to pin it to their inspiration board. When they pin it, that's the text that gets carried over. So if it's empty, it's like doing nothing for you. Or if it's all the same, like Google can look at it as duplicate text. So I have one more mistake, if you don't mind, Allie. I'm like going on and
yeah,
on.
Yeah, go for it. I love it.
It is basically online listings. You really want to list your business, especially in Google, and you want at least 5 reviews. So people come to me all the time, Fuse, I'm not found my local market. I look them up, and they're not in Google Business, or they are, and they have like 0 reviews. So if you go to business.google.com, it walks you through to sign up. And the cool thing is if you work from home, you don't have to actually show your physical address. You can say, I service my clients at their location and put a mile radius. So let's say 50 miles from this zip code. But Google still needs your address. So they're going to send you a postcard with a verification code because they want to know you're legit and not, you know, lying about that. So then you upload that and you verify. Once you're verified, then you need to tell your clients to Google you, and then on the right, your listing will show up and say write a review. So that's really important, at least 5 reviews. And there's other, you know, Yelp, and there's other, you know, even Wedding Wire getting reviews on these other sites. That's really helpful. So I think those 4 mistakes, honestly, if you get on that, that would be really good and can just really help you so you can get your foundation straight.
Yeah. I always tell the story. I remember the day that I was looking at another photographer in the area. This was like 4 or 5 years ago. And he came up really high, like the top of everybody for everything. And I was looking at his blog and I realized that it was the first time I realized that he named his images specifically what they were. Like each image was named, the image name, the JPEG was what it was, .jpeg. Yeah. The alt text was there. And I just remember having this aha moment where I was like, why am I naming my images Bob and Sheila when those aren't, that doesn't mean anything to anybody except for Bob and Sheila. So why am I not naming these based on what's actually here? And then I started doing that. But you know, I thought I was like great on top of things with SEO, but even the Blogstomp, which I use, the batch editing, I haven't done it like that. Like I only go in manually and I'm like, oh God, this is like a pain. So that's awesome to know that, and I'm going to definitely include that link.
If you're in a hurry, so at least you have some keywords in there. And then the cool thing is when you're, let's say you click 3 image files and you give them a name and then just add like, you know, and then the next 3. So it speeds up the process a lot. But you bring up one really cool point too. So one thing that's kind of like the opposite where people are either over SEOing is with blog post titles. So our blog post titles, it's annoying when I go to somebody's blog and I see Bob and Sheila, New York wedding photographer, Stacy and, you know, Katie, New York wedding photographer. Nobody cares about New York wedding photographer, but what they will care about is an adjective. So you have to think about, for your blog post, you have to think about humans, right? So because we're trying to optimize for Google, but at the end of the day, it's humans that book us. So I always give this example. I'm like, which one would you click on? You know, Bob and Sheila New York wedding photographer or Bob and Sheila's sexy rooftop New York wedding? I want to check out that sexy, you know, New York rooftop wedding. Right. So it's like you need to name your blog posts, not even for your current clients, but for your future possible clients. So add an adjective like rustic, charm, you know, darling, funny, pretty, because that could affect your click-through rate, and that's a factor for Google as well. So make it about the human. Not everything has to be this keyword heavy, you know, text, like just repeating yourself. Make it natural and make it about definitely blog post titled. So that's one thing that people think that's helping them, and that's really not.
What about getting specific with the venue name in the title? So if people are searching for wedding photos from a specific venue, coming up that way.
So I do like that approach, but again, you don't want, so let's say I photograph at, you know, Lowe's Hotel, whatever, all the time, right? So the first post I could do like, you know, Lowe's Hotel wedding photos or modern, you know, wedding at the Lowe's Hotel. But then The second one, I'm going to focus on style. Then the third one, I'm going to focus on colors. Then the fourth one, I might focus on I rotate. So I do have an image rename cheat sheet that we could add to the show notes so people can grab. And that's what I use to rename my photos many times. But I don't manually change all the titles because like I said, the alt text is the most important. But I'll use that as a guide for filling out my Yoast SEO plugin if you're on WordPress. So usually what you can do is have your blog post title more friendly. And if you use Yoast, you could change your permalink to have more the wedding venue name. And then the focus keyword can be the wedding venue name plus the word wedding photo. So a lot of people will put the venue name and the word wedding, but they forget to put the word photos. So when it comes to keywords, when blogging, when image SEO and all that, you need to focus on how the client is searching. So another mistake actually is you utilizing too much industry keywords. So newborn photographers do this all the time. They call it newborn session, but people are looking up photo session, newborn baby session, or you know, wedding photographers do this with engagement session. Drop the session or put the word photo. So if you go back to your blog post, a lot of you don't even have the word pictures or photos on your blog post. And that's a big mistake because people are not looking up the word session. They might be looking up the word photo shoot or pictures, but not the word session. So we spend so much time hanging out with other photographers that we think our lingo is normal in the real world. But if this mom is, you know, pregnant for the first time, or, you know, scheduling this awesome family photo shoot for the first time, or this bride, they've never done this before. So they're searching like they think. So one time I found a keyword that said photos of engagement pictures. Examples, right? Doesn't that make total sense? Like if I wasn't a photographer, I would totally look up something like that. So I could go on.
Yeah, well, I want to step in with a quick kind of question/comment. So you talked about Yoast, so and let's first tell everybody what that is, and then I'll ask my next question.
So if you use WordPress as a blogging platform and a website, it's a plugin. It's a free SEO plugin. I only use the free version. I don't use the premium version. So the plugin creates this box at the end of every post and page, which serves as like this thermometer, and it guides you towards what they call a green light, towards optimization and towards like, oh, you know, what's, you kind of tell the plugin, hey, I'm trying to get found for these words for this plugin. So then it guides you. The problem with the plugin sometimes, though, is that your goal is kind of to avoid the red, and it's not always to get a green. So with the plugin, you still want to be in charge. It's just like when you're shooting manually for the first time and you realize that the camera doesn't know its best. Like, it doesn't really know to expose. You know, if it's like someone's wearing black and they're in front of a white background, like, the camera will get confused. The plugin gets confused all the time. So at the end of the day, you still want to make those final decisions yourself. And don't be obsessed with the green, which a lot of people are. So that's one tip if you're using that plugin.
Yeah. And now, okay, now also, as people are going in to update, let's say that they've never had Yoast and they install it. And I kind of just went through this myself because I updated my website. And I realized that I made some mistakes on my new website where I went from absolutely number one for a ton of keywords. And I like took a nosedive within a week and I freaked out. And I did realize a couple of things I had done that I could fix. But one big thing is if you are going back and you're making these updates, let's say, well, okay, here's the question. Should people make the title updates? I guess, how am I trying to say this? So if I wanted to go back and I looked at my blog post titles and they're like Bob and Sheila's wedding at such and such place, or like New York wedding photographer, whatever it is, I wouldn't necessarily, you have to be careful about how you change it so you don't actually change the link.
Yeah, so you don't want to ever change the permalink. So the things that you could go back and change is your alt text if you click on the pencil in the image, is your blog post title, but never the permalink or else that's broken. And you could actually change what you filled out in the Yoast box too. So those things won't affect it. But the important thing about if you're using Yoast that I think a lot of people don't realize is that you really should be filling it out for all of your pages, or else your page titles and descriptions are all the same in Google. So those all should be unique. So engagement photo gallery is about engagement photo gallery. Wedding photo gallery is about wedding photo gallery. Sorry. Investment page is about wedding photography pricing, family photography pricing. So you want keywords to be very specific to what the page is about, because remember, your web pages can rank. So it's not just like this whole domain name. So yeah, so maybe just checking, Allie, your maybe checking your pages, your titles might have gotten just wiped off.
That's what it was. Yeah, I figured that out, and then it was fine.
Create new pages or rename them by mistake, because that can happen too. Like, I know with people that use Showit, if once you buy a new style group and the style group has different, whatever they name the pages becomes the permalink. So you want to maintain your same links, or else you have to redirect it, or else it can be broken.
Yeah. I figured it out. It was like the page title, just every single page had the same page title, and there was it wasn't specific. And that was what messed me up. So once I fixed that, it fixed the problem.
Good.
Yeah. All right. So obviously there's a ton of great advice here. Let's just start with, if somebody is feeling a little overwhelmed and they're like, holy cow, I have a ton of blog posts that I've done, you know, quote, wrong, or a ton of images that I've done wrong. And they're like, where do I even begin? What would you say, what would you tell them that they should start doing today as the first step toward fixing that?
Sure. So for me, SEO kind of comes in three phases. The first phase is technical and foundational. So this is like, if you don't do anything else, you need your foundations. Like, you need it. The second part is like a maintenance, and that could come in with blogging and content. And how can I make SEO part of my everyday workflow, right? Like, how can I blog with SEO in mind? How can I use Blogstump? Then the third part is going to be like revisiting or tweaking. So let's say, you know, maybe a strategy you were using no longer uses, or you want to optimize for something new, or you moved, you relocated like I just did. So then those are the three phases. So the first step is the foundational phase. So what you guys need to do is, whatever website platform you're using, or blog platform or blog site, you need to go to their help section and find out where do you update what's called page titles and description. So Squarespace is going to be in the advanced settings for each page. Showit, there's an advanced settings for Showit 5, there's advanced settings for SEO there. And it's called, usually will be called page title or SEO title. So in WordPress, it's via the Yoast box, and that's how you're filling it out. Or if you go to your general settings where it says site title and tagline, you should be filling that out. So what do you want to fill out there is really your main keyword. So if I'm in WordPress and I go to the general settings and in my site title, that's where it's going to be like, okay, what do I do? So, let's say you are in Atlanta. So, you know, Atlanta boudoir photographer, and then that upward dash, and then, women's portrait photography, right? So then you're going to do that, and then the description is full sentences up to 150 characters. So you're filling this out. You're going to find those sections first, and then you're going to go through every single page on your website, and you're going to fill it out, and you're going to make it unique. So page title is about 60 characters, and it's just loose keywords. So for every page, think like, how can you change a word or two? How can you change the town? So let's say I serve three towns. Well, different pages, I could focus on different cities, right? So then description is kind of like, Fuser Reese Studios is an Atlanta-based, boudoir photography studio. She offers professional women portrait photography for women. So that description, I'm usually copying and pasting on every single page on my site and then tweaking. So I focus more on my page title to be more unique. And my description, you can have them similar, but you want them all different. That's the first thing you need to do. Second thing you need to do is learn a little bit more about image SEO and how can you utilize it when you are blogging, and kind of correct some of the mistakes that we talked about. If you do these things mentioned, that already puts you in an advantage point for someone who has done no SEO, and that already can help with your rankings in Google.
All right, let's really quickly, and we don't have to spend too much time on this, but you mentioned relocating, and this is a huge question that I know a lot of people have. So can you just talk to that topic a little bit, just a little bit about when you knew that you were going to relocate, how did you deal with that from an SEO perspective?
Sure, that's a great question, and I see one mistake that we need to stop. So, all right, so this is the mistake I've seen some people. They know they're going to relocate in 3 months, 6 months, and they already start changing everything to that new location. Now, if the photo shoot was not at the new location, please don't put tags, don't put image SEO, because that's lying. Like, if you're found, right, let's say you move from the cold place to a warm place, that person's going to get all excited, and they're going to visit your blog, and they're going to feel like they've been lied to. okay? And then they're going to leave, and that's going to increase something in Google Analytics that's called bounce rate. Then Google's going to think you're not a good fit, and it just works against you. So don't do that. But what you can do, you can start changing your general SEO title and your page title to reflect the new location, number one. And if you visit the new location, schedule in some shoots. Schedule in some, like, tour shoots, free shoots, something, so you can have content to whatchamacallit, to blog about and to optimize for. Obviously, it's okay for you to go to your photo galleries and have the new location set in there. That's not a problem because you're eventually going to add content. But I don't want you to, like, you're still living in Michigan and you're blogging and you're like, you know, Tampa, you know, family photographer. No, don't do that because you will get found by that Tampa client and they're going to be mad that post has nothing to do with what they were looking for or what they thought your blog would be. So it's kind of like in gradual steps. So your first step is probably change your general site settings, your general settings. Then you can start tweaking your text, like in the actual page where you're located, where you're serving. Then you want to schedule in some blog posts to kind of announce that and to start really boosting for the new locations. Last but not least, once you finally move, then you want to change your Google business listing. And then you really need to look yourself up online, via your phone, online, and look for directories. Because what happens is online directories will automatically make a listing for you. So you have to go and see where you're listed everywhere online, and you have to update those locations in order for it to reflect your new location. Another tip is when you move, get the local number. You know, I just had to do it. I had to pay AT&T $36. I was not happy about that. But Google looks at name, address, and phone number. So if I had, you know, a New York number and now I'm in Texas, you know, when you're in Texas, you want your number to be associated with Texas. Like, the more things you have on there that associates your blog and your website with this new location, the better. So, you know, try to, like, visit, try to network also with people. You know, if it's wedding related, try to get tips. And one cool thing that you can do is kind of start a new blogging series about your new town and as a tourist, like things to do, restaurants, content that will match your ideal audience, right? If you're like a maternity photographer, you're not going to be talking about weddings, right? Or, you know, bridal expos. So if you are a maternity photographer, you could talk about things to do with kids in that town, events. So become a tourist in this new town and share that experience online, because then you're telling Google, hey, I'm like in this new location, and your audience. Does that make sense? That helpful?
And that's great advice, even if you're not moving, to do things like that to create content.
Yeah, so like, for blogging content, for sure.
Nice. Awesome. Fuse, this is such good information. And I'm telling you, I thought I had my stuff together, and I'm realizing that there's a lot that I need to do myself.
All the things to do. You know, that's the thing too. Like, rankings is like the stock market. You can't be too obsessed with it, obviously. And like I said, like, people think that if they're found on the first page for what they do, then that's going to be like, oh, yay, that's it, right? But the problem is the other 1,000 photographers in that city are also thinking the same thing. So you need to focus on what I call alternative keywords and alternative route, and that is with content. So I have a saying that I like to be found before people know they need me. So if I'm a senior photographer, I'm going to put out all kinds of inspiration, because anytime somebody wants to do something, the first thing they do is they dream about it. So if I want to go to Italy, I'm not booking my flight. I'm not checking hotels. I'm checking scenery stuff and, like, you know, places to visit. So, you know, be a resource for your client. Blog content, mix in content, not just your work, not just you, but, like, you know, things to do with your kids, events, local stuff. So think about who your ideal audience is, what keeps them up at night, and how can you help? How can you, like, be like, here, I have this information for you, and then later when they need a photographer, they're going to remember you. So that helps with SEO, that helps with your client, with your customer service, with your marketing. And so that's why I love blogging. And, you know, you have to look at blogging as this resource and not as a burden.
Yeah, that's a really cool idea. Okay, I know that you have a lot of great free resources, and we've talked a little bit about your free resources, but let's just tell listeners where they can find you. And I, just so everybody knows, I'm going to post these links on the show notes at photofieldnotes.com, so you can get them there. But Fuse, let's just go through where listeners can find you and tell us a little bit about your freebies.
Sure. So you can find me at Get Found with Fuse, and Fuse is FUSSAMe.com. Because that's my nickname. People call me Fuse. So right in my header, if you visit there, you can sign up for a free, I have a free course all about keywords, a mini course, or if you go more down, there is a course about image SEO. So depends on what you, an email course, what you need help with. And we're also going to link up the image rename cheat sheet, which a lot of photographers like. So there you're going to find blog posts, resources. You're going to find my digital shop and links to my courses. And I also do have a free Facebook group called the Fuse Lounge, and it's bit.ly/FBFuse, and we can add that in the notes too.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much. This is seriously incredibly helpful, and I think I have like a whole day of work ahead of me now, or probably like much more.
You know, SEO can feel really like overwhelming, but you have to understand the practical aspects of it. Like, how can I get found online for the things that I offer? And just take baby steps. So if you're just going to change your page title and find out where that is, just do that for now. So just take it easy, and you know, hit me up if you have any questions.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Thanks for listening. Check out show notes at photofieldnotes.com. And if you loved this episode, leave your review on iTunes. See you next week.